Our scripture this morning comes from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. Hear the word of God. Let us think of ways to motivate one another in acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us go to God in prayer. O God, open your word to us this day and remove any obstacles from our hearing and our receiving. Amen.
I make Sunday morning attendance a priority for several reasons. One is to honor God. One is to worship Him. And I also want to keep the Sabbath holy. I want to be in the sanctuary to pray, to sing hymns, to affirm my faith through the creeds, to hear the scripture read, to be fed through the sermon, and to be with fellow Christians. I also want to attend Sunday school to increase my knowledge of how God wants me to live. And let me tell you, I found a wonderful Sunday school class.
Well, first of all, my parents brought me to church for as long as I can remember, as a toddler on up. But it's more than just a habit with me. Over 30 years ago, just to make it brief, I had a near-death experience. And even the doctors at Johns Hopkins were amazed that I lived. And a lot of people said, you know, how did you make it through? And, you know, or why do you think you made it through? And I felt like God wasn't done with me yet. I needed to be in a role of serving others and helping others. And it really changed my life at that point. And being in church was much more important because I knew that there would be so many opportunities to help others. And to me, that's what we're here for. That's what God created us for. And I plan to continue that as long as I'm on this earth.
Well, when I first started coming to church on Sunday mornings, my grandmother is the one that brought me to Wesley. And most of the time I just did it because she asked me to. And we would always go to Waffle House afterwards, which was great encouragement. So I started coming to church on Sunday mornings for that reason, but I continued to come from the support which I got from my new family, not just my literal family, which consisted of my grandmother and one of my close cousins who comes to Wesley as well. I started coming to church on Sunday mornings because it got me out of bed, and it was a great way for me to let the burden of my week come off of my shoulders and for me to finally relax on a weekend because I tend to have a busy schedule. And I continued as well because of the change I saw I was making in the church, especially through my help with Sunday school. I saw the kids growing because of me, and that was absolute encouragement for me to keep waking up on that Sunday morning, even when I might not have felt like it, and come and help those children grow in their faith with God.
So speaking of Sunday school class, for the people in my class, the word, they've become family to me. We're all learning, researching, discussing everything under Dave's leadership. It's interactive and I like that. I'm not the bravest person. Wesley is an outgoing, a very friendly, caring place of worship. The staff, the members, the attendees always take time to say hello. They're all friendly, caring, good people. I've been made to feel very welcome. I attended the same church for over 30 years, relocated, and have visited lots of churches in the Tri-City area. But I was having trouble finding a home church. I found Wesley online and stopped by one day during the week, and I met Judy, who welcomed me with open arms. And then I met Krista when I brought my granddaughter, and she made Abby feel safe and welcome. And then I was walking down the hall, and there was a guy opening, getting ready to close the door, getting ready to start a Sunday school class. And I looked in, and it was the library, and the name of the class was The Word. And he asked me to join. How could I not join a class called The Word in the library? Since then, I've met very many Wesley members and attendees through missions and activities, thanks to Missy's guidance. I participate in Bob's Thursday night Bible study, and I'm getting to know our new pastor, Ginger. And I'm officially joining Wesley Memorial United Methodist Church. I have found my home church, and I've found my church family.
Well, I will have to admit that when I first moved here, I've only been here a couple of months, I had told one of my neighbors that I'm a Methodist, and I'm going to just visit each Methodist church and see which one felt right. Well, Wesley destroyed that plan for me. Because when I walked in that very first Sunday, it's the very first church that I have visited, I fell in love with it. And I knew this is my church family. And it truly is a family. I always felt that I taught high school for 30 years, and I learned a lot from my students. They learn as much from me as I learn from them. And I remember one of mine teaching Sunday school back in Arizona. I remember one of them saying, "I love my church family. I feel so comfortable here. It's another family. I don't feel like I'm being judged by how I look or what I'm wearing or anything like that. It's just a family I can talk to and feel safe with." And that's exactly what it feels like here. Everybody is very warm and welcoming and just a family you want to be a part of. And I just immediately fell in love with this church and thought, this is it. I am home.
My church family is really important to me because it not only consists of my actual family, but it consists of those who I've come to know as my family, especially with my work in Sunday school. The littles have felt like a part of me at this point. Just seeing them grow, which I've seen a lot of them grow, it's just really heartwarming. And they've also seen me grow with them. And that's a really great experience for me. I've been coming to Wesley since I was young. So these people in this church are my family at this point. I've grown up with them and I'm watching them grow as people. And my church family is so supportive, and Wesley is just such a great place for me. And it is so nice to be able to get to work with my peers and those who are a lot wiser than me and get advice about how to grow in my faith in God and how to pray and just all of that stuff. And Wesley, the church family here, definitely provides that.
I'm sure if we were to ask you all those same questions that we asked Terry and Barbara and Abby, many of you would have very similar answers about your church experience, whether it be that you grew up in this church or that you grew up in another church, but your experience would be very similar. Not everybody's, but many of yours. Mine certainly was. As some of them have said, it was just something we did as a family. We went to church as a family. It wasn't an option. And so we went to church. We were there every time the doors were open, just about growing up. Today, though, that is not necessarily the experience of many people. We are all painfully aware that a person's average attendance at primary worship has diminished over the years. While attendance at weekly worship used to be closer to 2 to 3 times a month at least, it has steadily declined on the average to once or twice a month, and now is often less than that. In October 2019, an article by the Pew Research Center notes that in 2009, worship attenders, those who attend religious services at least once or twice a month, outnumbered those who attend services only occasionally, or not at all, by 52 to 47% margin. At the time the article was written, those numbers had reversed, with more Americans saying they attended religious services a few times a year or less, 54%, than saying they attended at least monthly, 45%. The most recent Pew Research Center survey, conducted in March of this year, after most houses of worship had reopened post-COVID, reveals startling new statistics with regards to worship. Only 32% of adults said they typically attend worship at least once or twice a month. 32% of adults. 36% of that number had attended both in person and online. 31% of that number had attended in person only. 21% of that 32% continued to worship on online only. Back up, 31% had attended in person only, 21% online only, and then 12% of those who had identified as regular attenders had yet to return to in-person worship, nor were they worshiping online. And so we have seen drastic changes in worship. We could talk ad nauseum about the contributing factors of why this has happened in the American society, COVID just being one of those factors, but that's a conversation for another day. Rather, today I want us to focus on the exhortation from Hebrews, which reminds us of being present in the community of faith, of being present in the community of faith. When we become a member of a United Methodist congregation, one of the parts of our covenant is that we will support that church with our presence. We will be there. We don't just put our name on a roll and then vanish, but we become actively involved in the life of the church. Why is that important? And you heard some of the reasons from Terry and Barbara and Abby. But why is that important? What does it mean in this new pandemic-influenced culture for us to be present, especially when we still have some who are worshiping and will continue to worship online? Larry Duggins writes in Together, Community is a Means of Grace. I believe that community itself is a prudential means of grace. Our Creator lives in a constant state of life-giving community, thriving through an inseparable bond between Father, Son, and Spirit. God is community in God's self as Father, Son, and Spirit. Our Creator made us in the Creator's image, so we ourselves long for the same kind of community connection. And it is the prayer of the Redeemer that we experience that kind of community with each other and with the Creator. Through learning to love each other in communities, we live into our nature as the reflection of the image of God, fulfilling the desire of God, which draws us closer to God. The writer of Hebrews reminds us that our faith is lived out in community, not in isolation. Our faith is lived out among each other, not in isolation. Now, even before we had online worship, we knew people that stayed at home and watched TV evangelist or some type of worship service on television. And you would often hear them say, I get plenty by watching worship on TV. But Hebrews reminds us that our presence, community, is important for our faith. We live out our faith in community, not in isolation. Last week we mentioned in Acts the devotion of the new members, the new believers and disciples, in their meeting together for prayer and to learn to care for one another. They devoted themselves to that practice of coming together to pray together, to share in meals together, including the Lord's Supper, to care for one another. They were committed to living into their nature as the reflection of the image of God. The community, the body of Christ. Notice in our Hebrews passage that the reason for gathering isn't self-focused, but it is other-focused. It is not self-focused. I don't come to worship to help me. I don't attend church to help me, but I go for the purpose of helping to build one another up. And so we come for each other. We come for those that are sitting next to you and gathered around you. We gather as a community for the purpose of building one another up within the body of Christ, of nurturing the spiritual growth of our brothers and our sisters in Christ. I loved how Abby shared that she felt like part of her reason for being here was to encourage the children. She came because she wanted to encourage the children in their faith. Not because of what she was wanting to get out of it. That was a byproduct. But so that she can encourage the children in their faith. As we are present with one another, we are to provoke one another into love. We are to provoke one another in love. Now, as United Methodists, we understand that we are constantly growing in grace. Hate to tell you this morning, but none of you have arrived yet. We're all in process. We're all in process, and we will not arrive to that moment of perfection and love until we take that final breath. But Wesley taught us that we are going on to perfection. Now, that perfection does not mean that we are sinless. It does not mean that we don't do things wrong or that we forget to do things that we should do. But that perfection is that perfection in love. That love that enables us to look at another person and to not see them in human standards, but to look at another person and to see them as God sees them. And that's not easy to do, is it? But when we come together, when we come together as people united in Christ, then we help one another love others in that way. Because first of all, we practice that kind of love inside as we come together. But then we hold one another accountable as we go out to love others in that way in our community. I firmly believe that if our presence within the body does not lead us to love those outside the body, then our gathering is in vain. Because one of the attributes of the church is to embody the love of Christ in the world. Hear that again. If our presence within the body does not lead us to love those outside the body, then our gathering is in vain. Because one of the attributes of the church is to embody the love of Christ in the world. That is the one thing, or one of the things, that makes this entity unique. Many of you belong to a lot of organizations, whether it be the Rotary Club or the Chamber of Commerce or many things like that, a neighborhood group. But the one thing that stands out with the church is that we come together so that when we leave this place, we know how to love people outside the walls of this church. Because we've experienced that kind of love from one another. And if we're not being able to do that when we leave this place, then our gathering is in vain. When asked, Jesus said that the greatest commandment was to love God with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, and all our strength. But he did not stop there. He continued with the second imperative, to love our neighbors as ourselves. To love our neighbors as ourselves. And not just those that live right next door to us or down the street from us, but our neighbors that we encounter every day as we are out in the community. Regardless of who they are, regardless of how they live, regardless of whether they are wealthy or poor, regardless of anything, we're called to love our neighbors as ourselves. We all know that it is easy or easier Sometimes it's not always easy to love some people within the church, but it's easier to love people in the church. But to love those outside of the church is often difficult. To love those outside of the church is often difficult because sometimes we think, well, they should be in church. And there we go automatically judging them because they're not in church. And so we tend to look at people with suspect. Do we love those around us enough to involve ourselves in their lives in such a way that they experience the love of Jesus through us? As we come together as the church, as we are present with one another, that is part of what we are called to do, to encourage one another to love as God loves. And so we hold one another accountable in that, to this Christ-like perfect love of one another, both within the community and within the world. Hebrews also tells us that we are to provoke one another to practice good deeds, good works. We're to provoke one another to practice good deeds or good works. We'll talk about our covenant of service in a couple of weeks. But as brothers and sisters in Christ, we call one another to acts of service as we are present with one another. Sometimes we do that through the sharing of ideas. Someone might see something, a need in the community, and share that need, and all of a sudden, a ministry is born out of that need. And then we begin to rally around that and find ways that we can serve, and we call people, will you help with this? Can you do this? Can you be present for this? We also do that by recognizing the spiritual gifts of those around us. Many of us have been involved in the life of the church for a number of years, and so we have gotten to know each other very well. And when we do, we begin to see what the gifts of those people are. They sometimes don't see those gifts themselves, and so it helps when we help identify those for them. I shared with you early on my story of my call and how it was my colleagues who kept saying to me, Ginger, have you not considered ordained ministry? And I kept saying, no, I don't want to preach. Here I am. But they recognized that gift that I did not see in myself. And they shared that with me. And so when we come together and we are present, we share those inclinations that we recognize in others and encourage them to use those gifts to serve in meaningful ways so that God is glorified and people experience the love of God through them. We also gather to encourage one another in our faith journeys. We encourage one another to be present with one another through our life journey. Those that have helped to raise us in the faith. When we take the vow of membership, when we receive a child through baptism, when we baptize a child, we covenant to help nurture that child along with the family. And so when we are around those children, we are helping to encourage the growth of their faith, to be a mentor for them, to be an example for them as they are growing in their life and their faith. We also, as adults, need that same kind of encouragement and mentoring because, folks, being a Christ follower is not easy. Don't let anybody ever tell you that it is. Because it is one of the most difficult things that we are called to do. Because every day we are faced with decisions we have to make of how we are going to choose this or that based on our faith. And if we don't have the strong support of our family behind us, those decisions become difficult. And it's easy for us to make the wrong decisions. And so we support one another in our faith journeys by praying for one another. We talked about prayer last week. By being those mentors, being those examples. by being those persons who come alongside others in their faith journey and help them to learn and to grow. By listening without judgment. Hear that. By listening to people without judgment and offering words of forgiveness and hope. Just about everybody in this room is carrying some kind of burden. We all do. But we hold those burdens close sometimes because we're afraid someone else might find out and they might judge me. But as Christ followers coming together, we come together to listen without judgment. To be that person that is the example of Christ for them and offers words of hope and forgiveness. But there is more to being present than just occupying space. There's more to being present than just being in a pew or a room on Sunday morning. We can be physically present and not be present at all. We might be thinking about, well, what's for lunch? Did I turn the stove off or did I leave it on? Did I lock the door when I left this morning? The other day I went off and I left the garage door open. I thought I had closed it. My neighbor called and said, Ginger, your garage door's open. And I said, well, how about running in there and hit the button and then run back out? And she called back and she says, well, I tried that, but when I did, the little radar thing kept it from going down. So all day long I was worried about my garage door being open. I was here, but my mind was back at the house thinking, I hope nobody can rummage through anything in the garage. Then I got home and realized I had also forgotten to lock the back door. So in the garage. So they could have gone in the house and Mocha was with me. They could have gone in the house and who knows what could have happened. But I was present, but not present. And you know people like that. You've been in the room with people who are physically there, but they're not there at all. You're talking to them and they're over there going, uh-huh, yeah, right, uh-huh. But not hearing a word you say. When we covenant to be present, we are not just vowing to occupy space with one another. Yes, we love seeing each other, but we're not just vowing to show up and to warm a pew. We are covenanting to also be present mentally and emotionally and spiritually, to fully invest ourselves in the body of Christ and its mission, to give ourselves 100% to this congregation and to its ministries. The story of Jesus' visit to the home of Mary and Martha in Luke chapter 10 is a prime example of being fully present. Let's recall this story. While Jesus and his disciples were traveling, Jesus entered a village where a woman named Martha welcomed him as a guest. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his message. By contrast, Martha was preoccupied with getting everything ready for the meal. So Martha came to him and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to prepare the table all by myself? Tell her to help me. The Lord answered, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. One thing is necessary, and Mary has chosen the better part. It won't be taken away from her. Both Mary and Martha were sharing space with Jesus. They were both physically present in that home with Jesus. But Martha was distracted and was mentally and emotionally and spiritually absent. She might as well have not even been there because she did not really tend to Jesus and his presence. Jesus was present to spend time with Mary and Martha, but Martha was not present with him. And so when we come to worship or when we come to study or when we come to fellowship together, we have covenanted to come and to be fully present with each other and with God when we walk through those doors. To leave whatever we have going on in our minds in the parking lot and to come and to be fully present. In some ways, Kerry Newhoff addresses presence in these terms when he speaks of engagement in a blog article, Three New Realities About Church Attendance, Engagement, and Devotion. He says, attendance does not equal engagement, but engagement always, almost always involves attendance. Showing up at church does not mean you're engaged in the mission. You can still sit in the back row as easily as you can listen to a message half distracted while running on a treadmill. So attendance in itself doesn't have particularly high value. I don't know how to tell the ones that we have to report numbers to for the conference, but they need to hear that as well. However, you'll also notice that engaged people, people who serve, invite friends, give and participate in the community, attend. Hence, attendance doesn't equal engagement, but engagement almost always involves attendance. In other words, the more present we are mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, the more present we are physically. The more we invest ourselves fully in the body of Christ and its mission, the more faithful we are in being gathered with others as the body of Christ. But today is a different world, isn't it? Today is a different world. As we heard earlier and as we have experienced here at Wesley and as other churches have experienced, COVID has changed how people attend our churches. We recognize that online ministry is an important part of our churches going forward. And it's important for three reasons. First of all, because of COVID, many with compromised health attend online for their safety. Because COVID is still with us, many who have compromised health situations continue to worship online for their safety. And we're glad that they do. We're glad that they are attending worship online. We're glad that they are also watching out for their safety. We want them to be well. Others who once regularly attended in person have found the flexibility of online worship and study opportunities to best meet their busy schedules. Everybody's schedules are different. And for some, it is more convenient, but also easier for them to concentrate, to worship at a different time by pulling up our live stream at a different time and then finding that time to worship then. And so the flexibility has been helpful. But we also know that online worship particularly has opened the doors, so to speak, of our churches to many who have not previously participated in worship at all. It has been a way for people to come to worship who may never have worshiped. And so with this in mind, how can we be present with and for each other when we now worship and learn in a hybrid format? The pandemic has certainly presented us with many challenges to living out our covenant of presence, but we still can be present, even when we worship online. So let me say a word to our online worshipers particularly. As we are online, come to that time in a spirit of preparation and participation. It's amazing how words affect our thought processes and experiences. And we here who are physically present can think of this as well. If we say we are going to watch worship, then it becomes a spectator event. You hear that? If we say we are going to watch worship, then it becomes a spectator event. We go to watch a movie, but we don't participate in that movie, do we? We go to watch a sports event, and though we may be cheering in the background, we're still not participating in that sports event. I don't recall seeing any of you down on the football field at the football games. But when we say that we are worshiping, then it actively puts us into what is taking place. And we can do that from home online. That calls us to be a participant in worship. By preparing our hearts before worship, we can create an altar in our home. We can remove distractions. We can read and meditate on the scripture ahead of time because we post the scripture a couple of days before. We can pray for those who are leading in worship. We can pray for those who are physically present and the dispersed congregation worshiping online. We can be present online. We can also be present online by just simply saying, "I'm here," by commenting that you are worshiping with us online, or by liking the live stream as we worship. And I encourage those of you who are in person that after worship or later in the day to go online to our live stream, and where people have commented that they were present, say hello. Respond back, hello. I try to do that every Sunday after worship or sometime during the day just to go back and to say hello so that they know we were aware of their presence with us. Those who are worshiping online can also connect with us at other times during the week as we post and consider joining small groups that may be offered via Zoom. And we need to do a better job of making sure our Zoom online communities are made public or made publicized so that people can join them as they wish. For those that are also worshiping online that don't mind maybe gathering with a few people, invite your friends to also worship with you virtually by sharing an announcement about worship on your feed or calling them, and also sharing the actual live stream. Or you may even consider inviting a small group of your friends to gather in your home for online worship as an extension of our worship so that our worship moves into your living room. And if you do this, take a picture of your house group and post it in the comments of our live stream. We would love that. We would love to see others that are worshiping with us in our community. Whether present or online, however, Wesley wants to be the community, the body of Christ, for each of you. We need each other. We need each other as we continue in our journey towards being perfected in love. So let us be faithful to our covenant, to be present, to be present, and in being present, to do what our passage in Hebrews encourages us, and that is to encourage one another, to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Let us pray. Oh God, many of us are here this morning because of those who brought us to church or invited us to church at some time in our lives. It may be because it's just what we did as a family, and there wasn't an option. Or maybe along the way, as we became youth or young adults, someone invited us to come with them, and we went and we stayed. We have all experienced the importance of being present, not just for ourselves, but our presence for others. As we encourage, as we love, as we build community together. Lord, whether online or in person, Help us to be fully present to each other. And may this community of faith, this body of Christ, continue to grow and to flourish and to be your example of love in the world. All of these things we ask in your name. Amen.